Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
To bid you welcome in the Saviour's name to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. My name is Joshua Moffat, and I trust the Lord will bless you as we meet around God's Word tonight and as we worship the Lord Jesus Christ as He's presented to us in the Gospel. Our scripture reading tonight is taken from Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and it's the verses 9 through to verse 14. Luke 18, verses 9 to 14, and God's Word says, He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. And with God's infallible, inspired word being read to our hearts, let's meet for prayer and let's ask the Lord for his blessing upon the ministry of the gospel this evening. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art God and that beside thee there is none else. Lord, we thank thee that thou art the sovereign, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we pray that as we would preach the gospel this day, we pray that as we would present the Lord Jesus Christ, as we would lift up our eyes to that cross of Calvary once again, that, Lord, you would stir hearts. O Lord, touch those to whom this broadcast reaches, and let souls be saved by the grace of God. Thank thee, Lord, Jesus Christ is not out of the soul-saving business. Lord, you are still the Saviour of the world. And Heavenly Father, work in hearts tonight. Change lives tonight. Show men the errors of their ways. And ere this night is over, we pray that that cry would go up. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh Lord, let men and women say tonight, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Help me in the preaching. I pray that you would keep me from error. I pray that you would give me passion and zeal to preach to souls. And Lord, bless with thy Holy Spirit, we ask. For we pray these things in Christ's name and for Christ's glory. Amen. Amen. One of the things that I think we all do when we come into the house of God is we take a wee look around us when we've taken our seat. You maybe look around you at the people who were there, the rest of the congregation, and you say it's good to see so-and-so in, or we haven't seen that family in a while. You might look around at the glass windows, the texts of scripture that are written there, or the general decor of the church. Or you might look at what people are wearing. You might say, look at the state of your man's tie, or you'd have thought he'd have brushed his hair. It's what we do when we come to the house of God. We take a look around at others. And here in Luke chapter 18, the Lord Jesus Christ has told us the account of a man who came to the Lord's house. He came to the temple. And yet his eye was not on the sacrifice, but on other people. You see, the Lord was teaching a parable in verse number 9 to certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And to illustrate the danger and the awful repudiation of a self-righteous attitude in the eyes of God, the Lord shows this parable of the Pharisee. This Pharisee who compared himself to the rest of the congregation, who saw everybody else as lower than himself. And so he prays in verse 11, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. And he thought that everybody else was so bad that he didn't need to be saved. There was no need for him to cry out for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, praise the Lord, there was another man in church that day. A man who wasn't just as self-righteous. In fact, a man who came in humble contrition. A man who came confessing his wretchedness. A man who owned his guilt and who owned his sin and who owned his shame. And a man of whom the Lord is able to say in verse 14, went home justified, saved from sin. And I wonder, as you look at these two individuals, how have you joined with us today? As you watch this broadcast, which one of these men are you? Are you trusting in yourself? Are you trusting in something else? Or are you, like this man, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and crying out for the salvation that can be yours through the blood of Jesus Christ? I want to tell you today the tale of the turnabout tax man. The tale of the turnabout tax man. And the first thing I want you to notice today is his contrition. His contrition. It's been said that our actions often speak louder than our words. Before this man would speak and would utter words unto God, we can see in his actions and in his body language, this is a man who came to the Lord's house who was in sorrow over his sin. This was a man in deep contrition. This was somebody who knew, I am a wretch before God. And that's the best way to come to the Lord. Realizing how sinful and how wretched you are. And we see his contrition in his body language. Look at what it says here, that he stood afar off. Verse 13, he stood afar off. Over COVID and lockdown, we've all learned a thing about social distancing. But this was an individual who knew about spiritual distancing. And the reason this man stood afar off was because he was owning the fact, I am far from God today. Isaiah tells us that our sins have separated us from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stands afar off because he knows, I am unworthy to come before the God of heaven. And friend, the Word of God tells us that just like this man, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, some people think they're close to God. They think they come to church. That's God's house. They have Bible texts in their home. They might read that Bible every now and then. They might hold church membership. They might have a sympathy for the things of religion. But my friend, until you've been to the Lord Jesus Christ, and until you've confessed your sin and by faith plunged yourself beneath his cleansing blood, the reality is you today are as far from God as you could possibly be. This man stood afar off. I also see that he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. You know, I find it's one thing to say, well, yes, I know I'm a sinner, but sure, everyone's a sinner. The whole world's full of sinners. It's easy to accept that every man, woman, and child are cursed by the fall and a sinner from the day they're born. But this is a man who accepted that he personally had sinned against the Lord. And that's a different thing altogether. This man recognized the problem is not that everybody has sinned, it's that I have sinned. I have come far short of God's glory. David realized this. In Psalm 51, in the verse number 4, David confessed, against thee and thee only have I sinned. There were others involved in the sin of David. However, he confessed his sin before God. He felt the guilt of it. He felt the weight of it. He felt the shame of it, having failed a holy and a just God. And my friend today, do you feel the shame and the guilt of your sin? I wonder, do you feel the reality and the heavy burden of your sin? My friend, come and see your state before God. Because this man did. And what we read is that he smote his breast. There's another one of his actions that show his contrition. The breast is the seat of the heart. And this man's heart was desperately wicked and sinful. And so this tax man, who had long sinned against his community and had been stealing and had been thieving and engaged in every other sin, was violently attacking the root of his sin, his wicked, sinful, depraved heart. This man hated the sin that was in him. He hated his sinful life. He hated that heart that loved darkness rather than light, and he wanted a new heart. He beat upon his chest to convey that. And my friend, I wonder, do you hate the heart of sin that is in you? This man was contrite before the God of heaven, realizing he was a wretch and a failure in God's sight. I wonder, is that how you view yourself tonight? If so, there's a wonderful promise in Psalm 51 in the verse 17, where David writes, a broken and a contrite heart, thou wilt not despise. This man came contrite. He hated where his sin was about to bring him. The fires of hell forevermore. My friend, do you hate your sin tonight? It's not enough to believe there is a God. My friend, you must turn from sin. The Bible calls it repentance. And trust by faith in the Son of God, who went to Calvary's cross and bore sin for you. Oh, my friend, come before God tonight broken. Come contrite. Come desiring a change, a new heart to be given to you. friend, a contrite heart, God will not despise. But not only do I notice his contrition, I want you also to notice his confession. The Pharisee, when he came into the Lord's house, he came swaggering. He came boasting. I can see him strutting in through the gates of the temple. And look at what he says. He's prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. What's he saying? I'm better than everybody else. He came before God telling the Lord how wonderful he was. How amazing he was. How good he was. But yet what I find is that the publican, he came as he was. He came claiming to be nothing else than what he was before God. A wretched, hell-deserving sinner. The publican was a sinner. And friend, he came as a sinner. He came ashamed, crying out for the mercy of God. You know, the story is told of a painter who was painting one of the streets of his hometown that he had grown up in. And this street, he walked down it many times, and he was able to capture the essence of what that street was. He captured the cobblestones on the ground and the tiling on the roof and the bakery window. He captured it all in his painting. And when he stood back and he looked at it, he thought, well, not many times did I walk down that street and there weren't people walking to and fro. And so one by one, he began to paint in characters into that portrait. But you know, there was one individual who he thought about. A street sweeper. A poor, ragged, bushy, bearded, unkempt, filthy street sweeper. And anybody who walked down that road at any time of the day would have seen this street sweeper. He was so integral to the character of the street. And so the artist, he went down to that street where he'd grown up. And he saw the street sweeper. And he explained to him what he was doing. And he said to him, I want you to come to my studio. And I want you to model for me. I'll paint you into this picture. And I'll give you a day's wage for it. And so it was put in the diary for the next week. You know, the next week that date rolled around. And the artist was ready to paint. He had his easel and his paintbrush in his hand. And in knocked that door. And in walked this man. But he was no longer the unkempt street sweeper. In fact, he was now wearing expensive clothing that he had hired. He had washed his filthy face. He had combed his unkempt hair. He came almost unrecognizable. It wasn't long before the artist put down the paintbrush. And he put aside the easel. And he sent him away unpaid. Because that man was invited to come as a beggar. And yet he deigned to come before the artist as a prince. You know, my friend, I have great joy in telling you today that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the pure, impeccable, spotless Savior, has died for sinful man. He took the place of the guilty when he hung on Golgotha's tree. He has paid the ransom price, a king's ransom, to free us from the bondage of sin. And today he invites you to come and receive the salvation which he has purchased through his atoning blood. But here's the condition. You come as you are. You come as you are. You don't be like this street sweeper who sought to clean up his act before he would come to the artist. My friend, God wants you tonight to come as a wretch before him. To come ragged. To come sinful. To come broken and heavy laden that he might give you rest. Do you know what the Pharisees said of Christ? Just a few chapters earlier, Luke chapter 15. Here's what they said. This man receiveth sinners. Not Pharisees. Not religious people. Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And my friend, God has salvation for sinners. And so the condition tonight is that you come as a sinner to the foot of the old rugged cross. There's no other way to be received by Jesus Christ but as a sinner. And this man came confessing his sin. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, we read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, a beautiful verse. I often quote it whenever I preach the gospel. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My friend, don't come before God for a fixing. Don't come before God as an add-on to your life. Don't come before God for a reformation of your life or an improvement of your life. Come to God for a change of life. Come to God for salvation, to be born again, to be washed in His blood, and to be made a new creature in Jesus. You need to come crying, "Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary." You know, there's a wonderful thing that this man says here. He says, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." He's confessing his sin, but that word merciful in the Greek, it's the word propitious. That word propitiation, it means the turning away of God's wrath by the means of an atoning sacrifice through the payment of another. And so what's this man praying? He's coming before God and he's saying, "Lord, yes, I'm a sinner. I'm a wretch. I deserve nothing but wrath. I deserve nothing but hell. I deserve nothing but punishment and anger forever and ever. But look on Jesus Christ. Look on His oblation. Look on His sacrifice. Look on what He did for me at Calvary. And set me free." This man was confessing his sins, yes, but he was also trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, that's what you need to do today. Come before God, confessing your guilt, and yet looking upward to Jesus. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. My friend, will you come before Jesus Christ tonight? Will you come confessing the blackness and the guilt of your sin? Will you look to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, repent and believe the gospel and be saved by His blood, which He has shed so graciously and willingly for you? We saw His contrition, the guilt and the shame He felt as He came before God. We saw His confession, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." In fact, in the Greek, the definite article's there, the word "the," "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner, the worst sinner." And friend, if there's salvation for the worst sinner, there's salvation for you. But lastly, I want you to notice his conversion. Because this man came into the temple and he couldn't boast of the good works he performed, for there were none. He couldn't boast of his wonderful lifestyle, for he had none to boast of. All he could do was come with his guilt, come with his shame, come with his wickedness and cry out for God's mercy. And yet, do you know what the Lord said of this man? We read it in verse 14. This man went down to his house justified. He came as a sinner, but he left as a saint. He came laden with guilt. He left liberated by grace. His sins, they were many, but Christ's mercy, praise God, was more. And all this man's wickedness was washed away in the cleansing stream of the blood of Jesus Christ. And now God says of him, he's justified. He's accepted in my sight because he's washed in Jesus' blood. And friend, that's what Christ offers you tonight. Freedom where once there was bondage. Life where once there was death. Joy where once there was misery. Hope where once there was hopelessness. He offers you justifying grace tonight when you come as a sinner to Jesus Christ. Will you come as this man came? Will you come broken, contrite, confessing, and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? I wonder, will you be saved from your sin? You know that Pharisee? He left the same way he came in. He came in proud and he left proud. He came in boasting of his good works. And when he went home that night, he was still the same lost, hell-deserving wretch. Because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. My friend, as you have joined this broadcast this evening, what is it that you're looking at? What's your hope? This Pharisee looked at everybody else. This Pharisee looked at his lifestyle. What are you depending on tonight? Are you depending on your good works? Are you depending on your church? Are you depending on how awful everybody else is that it'll level out your good works and put you a step above them? Or, my friend, I ask you this, are you looking up to behold the face of the Lord Jesus Christ? And are you crying, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner? My friend, come before Jesus Christ tonight. Come contrite. Come confessing. And come and be converted. For Jesus can set you free. Praise God tonight. My Savior is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in hearing the account of the turnabout tax man. This man who was a wretch. This man who was a failure. This man who was hell deserving and deserved not the least of all thy mercies. And yet we thank thee that Christ could say he was justified. He was saved. The great mountain of his sins cast into the depths of the sea. O Heavenly Father, we pray that many more would come to trust in this Savior. We pray that many more would look to the sacrifice of Calvary and cry, Lord, be merciful. Lord, be propitious to me, a sinner. Lord, save souls today. Do a work in hearts today, we pray. And as my voice falls silent, let the speaking voice of God speak on, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.